Good morning. I was just at the back listening and just listening to the words. Holy God, who's holy forever, loves us. A holy God who doesn't need anything loves us. A holy God who has everything, gave up everything for us. Usually, I have to start preaching way, way more before I start crying, but apparently, just hearing you all sing and just thinking about what it is that we're singing together is enough. There's a song that the Jewish bit of my family sings, and they say, if you'd just given us the Torah, it would have been enough. If you'd just given us your word, it would have been enough. The history of the world, how you freed us from bondage, the laws that should govern our relationships, and really giving us our vision of who it is that we're supposed to be. We're blessed to be a blessing. That's the basic call of humanity. If that's all we had, that would have been enough. But he gives it all up to come for us, to find us wherever we want to hide, behind our masks, behind our positions, behind our problems, behind our laments, behind our challenges. He doesn't wait for us to come to him. He comes to us. And he finds us and he says, you know what? Things are different now. You're mine. I'm yours. We're in this together forever. Well, good morning. My name is David. That was the pre-sermon, apparently. And I'm filling in for Pastor Elaine as she's away on some exotic secret vacation. She checked in with me during the week. She sent me a text message. She said, I saw you preach. It was okay. Your probation period in the church will continue. She didn't actually. She was super encouraging and very kind, and I appreciated it a lot. She's a lovely person, and we all as a community are lucky to have her. I'm grateful for the people that God puts in our lives, to do all kinds of things and to live out that message of hope and redemption, to live out and live into the good news. So we see them and they invite us into that same kind of life, maybe in a different way. They give us a good word so that we're not discouraged, so that we can keep going on, following our path, our unique path that God has laid out for us since the beginning of the world. Because we're not accidents. The lives we live may be hard, they may be marred by sin, but our lives are not accidents. God is with us, God is for us, and he's in it with, through thick and thin, he's there. This is our life as the people of God. A God who gives up everything for us. A God who pays the price so we don't have to. A God who draws us near when we were far off. Who searches for us, not because we're good, not because we're perfect, but because we deserve it, but because we are loved. That's who we are as this community. That's church. That's real church. And that's the kind of church that we practice here at Walmer Road. And I am grateful every day to be a part of this church. So thank you for this opportunity to talk with you all this morning. Thank you for the encouragement from Pastor Elaine and for trusting me with her pulpit. And so we come together this morning to remember what it means to be the family of God in this place, what it means to be church. Maybe in a new way, maybe not, but whatever way, I pray that we remember that we are part of the same love, one love, one family. That's what makes us church. Before we go any further, let's just bow our heads and pray. Father God, We know that you are here. Give us eyes to see. We know that you speak. Give us ears to hear. We know that you are moving. Attune us to your movements. Father God, we come to you just as we are in the middle of our everything. And we pray, Lord God, that you would find us again and draw us near to you. Lord God, as we speak your words this morning, may we come to know your living word, Jesus. May we open our hearts to his love anew. Open our lives to the movement of your spirit, Lord God, so that we continue to live out that good news. Live into our calling to be your family. To that end, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. God and our Redeemer, amen. So in our passage this morning, we hear Paul. Paul, this guy who is an apostle. And it's just a fancy old word for a messenger, somebody who's sent to deliver news. So in effect, we are all apostles. We are bringers of God's good news, God's message of hope and love and forgiveness and grace and mercy. What we have in Ephesians is really his half of letters. So the church in Ephesus sent him letters and said, Paul, what do you think about this? And he wrote back from jail at this point, and he said, well, this is what I think. He said, and they sent him another letter, and they said, Paul, what about this? And he wrote back another letter, and he says, this is what I think. And they said, well, Paul, those were great ideas, but we have this new issue. And Paul said, okay, this is what I think. You remember when I was there, how we did this and this and this and this? Do more of that. Do more of that together, because you are one family. You are joined under one blood, one life, one family, one faith, one baptism, one hope, which is Jesus. And so he writes letters in response, and what we have left is not the letters that came to him, but the letters that he sent to answer all of these issues and situations and things going on. I didn't even read the scripture. You don't know what I'm talking about, David. So anxious to get on with it. Let me read you what he said. So it's Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 to 22. You're like, all right. Don't keep us in suspense. What are you talking about? Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 to 22. So then, remember that at one time you Gentiles by birth, called the uncircumcision by those who were called the circumcision, a physical circumcision made in the flesh by human hands. Remember that you were at that time without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. In his flesh he has made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing wall, that is the hostility between us. He has abolished the law with its commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new humanity in place of the two, thus making peace, and might reconcile both groups to God in one body through the cross, thus putting to death the hostility through it. So he came and proclaimed peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him both of us have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints, and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, and in whom you also are built together spiritually into a dwelling place, one dwelling place for God. So then remember that at one time you Gentiles by birth were called this uncircumcision by those who were called the circumcision. Gentile just kind of means dirty, unclean, the great unwashed. You were called the icky people, and now you are no longer icky. You were called gross, and now you are ungross. Before, you were not kosher, and now you are. That's a big deal. That's a big deal. That's like saying, at one time, you were a Klan's member, but now you can come to the cookout. That's a huge deal. That's a huge deal. At one time, you were Marvel, and now you're DC. I don't know. What was that lady in Scandal? Do you remember Scandal? One of the best shows of all time, ever? Were you Team Olivia, and now you're Team Millie? Never. It was always Team Olivia. Come on, there was no question. At one time, you were this, and now you are that. At one time, you were completely unacceptable. You were out of order, and now you've been made right through the person, the love, the message, the life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You've been washed in the blood, and you are acceptable. There is now no hostility between us. We're good. We're good. More than that, we're family. Oh, wait, more than that, we're all part of the same house. Not only are we the same household, we are the same house. And at the center of the house is what? The presence of God. God's Holy Spirit. That's what is at the core of who we are as God's people. That is our core identity. There's nothing else. There's nothing else. Another place he says, you know what? We were slaves and they were free and there were men and there were women. No, that's all done. We are just the family of God. That is your one title, your one identity. There's nothing else that matters. Nothing else that matters. And now I have Metallica running through my head. I'm sorry. Nothing else matters. These are radical, incredible statements. In a society that was built on hierarchy and distinction, he's like, no, there's nothing. There's just this. Just this. In the church, we tend to forget just this. Sister in Christ, brother in Christ, sister in Christ, sister in Christ, sister in Christ, brother in Christ. There's no distinction. We're family. There's just this. Just this one core identity. Nothing else. You don't have different blood types. You have one blood type. Jesus' blood. That's what courses through all of us. That's what courses through our lives. There's no distinction. There's no reason for us to be separate, for us to be better than or less than. There's no sin that is unforgivable. No station that is above. We're all one. One love, one family, because of one blood. It's so easy to forget. We're so tempted all the time to forget that we are one and to do unimaginably horrible things as a result of that. I was struck by the floods and the assassination attempt. These two things inundated my mind. How can people call themselves Christian do these things? How can people that are under the same environment, seeing the same things, experiencing the same floods, wars and rumors of wars, extreme weather, say, nah, it's just a blip? How can we, as God's people, continue to say, well, your sin is worse than mine. Your sin is different than mine, so you can't come into the space. What did we do as Christian people to get here? We said yes to a gift. We said yes to somebody saying, hey, I think you're pretty neat and I love you a lot. And there's some part of us, some wounded part of us. Well, it's not the wounded part of us that reaches out for that. Maybe it is. It's the part of us that where game recognizes game, where deep recognizes deep, where something pings and something clicks and we hear that clarion call of truth. Something resonates deep inside of us and we say yes to that gift. And some part of us dares to believe that that could be true. That somebody could love somebody like me without condition. That is our basic hope as God's people. That we say yes to the gift of God's grace and mercy in and through the person of Jesus. That we look to the cross not just as decoration or something that we wear, just the bling that we have on our chest. We look at it as something real and a bridge that brings together things that were disparate and separated. This is the cornerstone of who we are as God's people. This is our hope going forward. This has always been our hope as God's people. It's not our programs, it's not our position, it's not our power. It is the blood of Jesus that breaks down the walls and makes us one. We are facing so many different situations these days. So many different things that tempt us to believe that we are separate. That we are different. That because of our economic station, the problems of others don't matter. Because your house is warm and dry, that those that don't have a house don't matter. Because you're healthy, the sick don't matter. Because you're in your right mind, the lack of access to good psychological care doesn't matter. We're tempted to look away or to see the things that we see around us and think there's some difference between the two of us. That we are on different sides of something. We're the same. We're sinners saved by God's grace that have been brought into the center, brought into God's presence, where we feel his love maybe for the first time. And realize that we're all the same. We're all people made in God's image whose hearts are broken by the sin that we experience in this world. And that there's nothing that we can do in and of ourselves that will ever make that sin less or make it go away. That only Jesus can fill that God-shaped hole inside of us and make what is wrong right, make what is broken whole, and heal what is constantly hurting. And we're all the same, even though our sins are different, our life experiences are different. There's only one answer, one hope, and that's Jesus. I know that I'm sounding weird, and it's really because I'm trying hard not to cry like a big baby. I recognize that we're in privileged positions being in the country that we're in the place that we are in. Yes, we have challenges. But we get to come here to worship together in freedom and to speak our mind. For the most part, we're safe. I realize that lots of the rest of the world have all kinds of challenges, but we too have a challenge. In a place that is safe, we have the challenge of stepping outside and saying, you know what? Jesus loved me and he did this for me and my life changed because of it. And I know that you believe something different, but I love you. I know it's uncomfortable to be sort of impolite and talk about our faith because, you know, as good Canadians, we don't like to do that. We don't want to make anybody feel, you know. We love to say sorry. That's what we do. We're like, oh, maybe you can do something that is deserving of sorry then. I'm sorry to bother you. But can I tell you how much Jesus loves you? Maybe you don't even have to say, I'm sorry. Maybe you don't even have to tell. Maybe you can just show them. We as church are not known for our love anymore. There was a time that church meant something. And I'm not going to say, let's make the church great again. That's not where I'm going with this. What I'm going to say is, like, let's make the church love again. So many times the church is known for what it doesn't love, what we're against, what it is that we don't like, what we think is, oof, too much. There is not anything that is too much for the love of God. There's nothing that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. He tells us that time and time again. From the very beginning, he's like, yo, I'm with you. I know that you messed up, but I'm going to provide you a way out. And then I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be helping you. Whether it's those laws in the Torah or whether it's the sample of Jesus, whether it's the example of Jesus on the cross, there's nothing and no one that is beyond Jesus' reach. There's nothing and no one that Jesus' love and presence and good news can't change. And you should know full well what that means. Does anybody look in a mirror this morning before they come to church? Do you remember the person that you were? I'm not saying that you were terrible. I'm just saying that we had some stuff that Jesus had to deal with. There are lots of people that are facing those same things without the presence of Jesus at the center of their being. And they have no hope. It's only darkness. There's no light. There's only pain and no cure. I'm sorry to bother you, but do you know that Jesus loves you? And this is how I know. I was like this, and now I'm not like over here, but I'm changing. You know how I know that Jesus is alive and active in my life? I drive through Toronto traffic every day, and people still live. I don't become the murderous person that I think in my head. Something touches my heart and says, maybe something's going on with them. Maybe you should give them a pass. Do you remember the time that the church was known for its love? Setting up hospitals and schools and rescuing the unwanted and saying, you know what? You have a place here. Not because we wanted to be good, but because there was good that loved us into a different shape, loved us and bound us up and healed our broken bits. Love that filled us up so much that we couldn't contain it and it poured over whatever borders we had in place. And just gushed out. Paul said, you know what? The former things, they don't matter anymore. This one thing matters. Jesus' love that flooded your hearts and made you whole, that matters. The fact that you are no longer strangers but family, that matters. The fact that you are called to carry this message of hope and love and care into the world, that matters. I don't know where you are on your journey this morning. I don't know what it is that you're grappling with. I don't know what you're trying to white knuckle through. But I'll tell you this. I know who I was. And I knew the pits that I was just continuing to dig deeper and deeper with all the things that I was trying to do in my life by myself, for myself. And I know that Jesus' love made it through somehow. I know that I'm not hopeless in the face of all these things that are happening in the world. I know that Jesus is still able. And I don't know how he's going to work things together for our good in this community, but I know that he will because he promised to. And I don't know the things that you think are making you separate from the person beside you, the person in front of you, or the person on the street. But I can tell you this. The love of Jesus takes those separations down. And he makes us one family, not only here in these pews, but in those streets. What you see are people who don't yet know that they are loved by Jesus. don't yet know that they have any hope or any way out. Our calling as God's people is to carry ourselves in such a way that people look at us and say, there's something seriously wrong with you. Why are you talking to me? Why are you kind to me? Why do you care? I am different than you. I wear a sheet when I run out into the street. I burn crosses. I don't lift up the cross like that. Why do you care? Why does my life matter to you? Because your life doesn't matter to me. Then we can answer, well, I wasn't so different than you until Jesus' love found me. It's Jesus' love that makes us family. One love, one family, one hope. That's who we are. That's the truth we carry with us. That's what's at the core of our identity. Not our fancy worship songs or how we dance. It's not how we love or who we love. It's who loves us. Jesus loves us. He died for us, and he died for those people too. That's our message. That's our truth. That's what makes those people not strangers, but family that we don't know yet. There's no hostility. There's no separation. Jesus died for all of us. His love floods us. And when we share that love, we help other people recognize, realize that maybe there's a different way. My prayer, my hope, my homework for you this week is to think about that love. Think about all the things that could separate us one from another. And ask Jesus to shine his light through and maybe work on that separation. Instead of making a wall, say, Lord God, help us make a bridge. Make your love flow in me, through me, to a world that desperately needs to know. But there's one love, one hope, and one family. Amen?